During this visit, I've been speaking on 2nd Canto, Chapter 3 of Srimad Bhagavatam, kind of a prelude, I guess, to Ananda Krishna Swami's overview of the first two cantos, or whatever the surprise experience is going to be. The third chapter of Canto 2 is entitled Pure Devotional Service, Change of Heart. So they go well together, pure devotional service and change of heart. The change of heart phrase comes, this is a little review, comes from a phrase in the previous chapter where Maharaj Pariksit is hearing from Sukadeva Goswami that the process of devotional service changes the polluted aim of life, the polluted aim of life being sense gratification or moving into darkness away from Krishna towards illusion, pursuing happiness and phantasmagoria. And as much as it sounds like, well, that should be so difficult of a decision to make, to go towards the light instead of towards illusion. But we're creatures of habit, we're quite conditioned to illusion, and giving up illusion isn't so easy. I guess some of us have noticed that over a period of time. Although we agree to the precepts of a life in devotion, and we're striving in that way, we're very much caught up in our own little, or not so little, illusions. It's strong. Forces of maya are very strong. But this chapter 3 is very nice in that it gives us a little map to follow how attachment to Krishna can develop. And it's the process, it's the hearing process, but then there's particularly effective ways to hear. So, the present place where we are in chapter 3, there's texts 15 and 16, which I'm going to speak about this evening, and it's Shaunaka, who is narrating to, or is asking questions of Sutta Goswami, as Sutta is narrating what he heard, the discussion between Maharaj Pariksit and Sukadeva Goswami. And after Sukadeva Goswami explains how this change of heart can take place, and what are the effects when that change of heart takes place, there is some very beautiful descriptions. Shaunaka is very excited to hear more. Go on speaking. Because of the qualification of Maharaj Pariksit as such a qualified person to hear and such a poetic speaker, perfectly realized soul as Sukadeva Goswami, he heard everything and perfectly assimilated from Vyas, his father, the compiler of all the Vedas. Surely some wonderful Krishna katha was spoken. Please tell. Very eager. Kushamadana. Great eagerness. I want to hear. So, Shaunaka then goes further into describing the qualifications and characteristics of Maharaj Pariksit, and the qualification that he points to, Maharaj Pariksit's qualification, is that as the grandson of the Pandavas, he was from his very childhood a great devotee of the Lord, even while playing with dolls. He used to worship Lord Krishna by imitating the worship of the family deity. So, we're going to spend some time discussing the importance of demon worship, and particularly in your home, as well as in the temple, and particularly the value that goes to the children in the family. I have noticed that there's a number of children in our congregation. Quite a few number of children. And what Prabhupada quotes in this purport from Bhagavad Gita 6:41 is often heard, Suchinam Srimatam Yehe Yoga Mrashta Vajayate, where the unsuccessful yogi, the yoga drashta, there's yoga nashta and yoga drashta. When this line is broken, that's yoga nashta. And yoga drashta is a yogi who strives but doesn't complete his path. And then what happens? So what happens for any one of us if we practice Krishna consciousness but we don't cross the finish line? We don't come to the stage of unalloyed devotion to Krishna. What happens? Srimatam Suchinam Srimatam Gaye Yoga Vrashta Vijayate. One can take birth in a Sri Suchinam, family of brahmanas, or Srimatam, the family of wealthy personalities, such that it makes it easier, not a guarantee, but it makes it easier to continue in one's next life, in the path of devotional service. And Prabhupada explained over and over again that the children that are born to devotee parents are very special souls, as was Maharaj Parikshit, a very special soul, but he's just one. He was so special, as we know, when he was still within the womb of his mother, Uttara, the very vicious act of Drona's son was to try to kill him while still within the womb. Ashvatthama released a brahmastra to try to kill the child in the womb. Now, in Vedic culture, this is unthinkable. In modern times, abortion is not only thinkable, it's a profession. But in Vedic times, unthinkable. And people sometimes ask, what does your religion teach about abortion? It doesn't teach anything about abortion because it's too abominable to even address. It's not thinkable. But here's Ashtapama, the son of a Brahmin, trying to kill a child while still living in the womb. So, you know what happened? Uttara, being alerted that the Brahmastra was coming, because she's a devotee, pure devotee, what does she do? Krishna, Krishna! Her prayers are wonderful. She says, let this Brahmastra destroy me, that's okay, but not the child within my womb. Not only because it's my child, but this is the only heir to the throne. That's why Ashvatthama wanted to destroy this particular child. So Krishna appeared within the womb of Uttara, and with his Sudarshan Chakra, he counteracted the heat of the Brahmastra with his own heat weapon, thus neutralizing the effect of the Brahmastra and saving the child. But even before he did anything, he was in a very unique position. Not only he was protected by Krishna, but Krishna gave his darshan. It was deliberate. Here I am. And even within the womb, he saw Krishna's beautiful form. And so when he was born, he was given this name, Parikshit, meaning he was everywhere examining. Is this Krishna? Is this Krishna? Is Krishna here? Where is Krishna? Searching for Krishna. His whole life. And so Prabhupada elaborates in the purport, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Jiva Goswami, when Maharaj Parikshit was a small boy, the grandson of the Pandavas, what was the subject matter that he heard about? The Pandavas and Krishna. Naturally. Just like we will hear about our relatives, so he was hearing about his relatives. Only Krishna and Arjuna and Bhima, Yudhisthira and the Pandavas and Kunti and Draupadi. This is from childhood. And the purport explains, the family had a family deity. Guess who the family deity was? Krishna. And so he saw the worship of Krishna, and he then imitated the family worship of Krishna. The verse specifically says, even while playing with dolls. Now Prabhupada uses this word dolls, I've come to appreciate, in a slightly different way than we might. Like just this morning, we're coming for class, there were two little girls, and one had a doll and the other had a doll. It's just like a little stuffed cotton covered thing, a doll. But Prabhupada spoke about, not here in this report, but elsewhere, how in his life, he says there was symmetry between great personalities, that his father, Gaur Mohan, also was worshipping Radha Govinda deities, brass deities in his home. And so Abhai would sit and watch. Children will observe what their parents do, and he was sitting and watching what his father did, and he developed some appreciation, some affection for worshipping the deity form of the Lord. And so his father gave him little miniature Radha Govinda. Prabhupada spoke of them as dolls. So they weren't the ones that the children were carrying this morning, but they were on the altar, brass murtis. But because it was child's worship, Prabhupada spoke of that worship as worshiping dolls, imitating his father. But that impression, Prabhupada personally spoke, that it made a lasting impression. Obviously, his worship of deities was very significant, very, very important. And when he came on the Javaduta, he had three things, his Bhagavatam sets, or at least the first three volumes of first canto, and little pair of kartals, and his Radha Govinda deities. And those very same deities that Prabhupada worshipped when he came to America are now on the altar in New York, and below Radha Govinda. So deity worship was very important in his childhood. And as his parents would observe, it's in this purport, Rathyatra and Doliyatra. So he wanted to observe Rathyatra and Doliyatra. Very famous pastime. His father was very happy, and so he made a miniature Rathyatra cart. And Prabhupada says here, my father lavishly spent for prasadam, for distribution to all the people in the neighborhood every year, Rathyatra, Doliyatra, bringing his son into the spirit. Of course, Prabhupada had the spirit of devotion. So it's a nice combination. A pure devotee father and a pure devotee son. Good combination. And see the outcome. Or Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Pure devotee father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And when they were excavating a home, and when they're digging the foundation, they found a Kurma deity. And at the age of seven, Bhakti Vinod Thakur gave to his son this Kurma deity. And he instructed him how to worship the Kurma deity. And he took it very seriously, because he was that was his nature, he was very serious. So serious that even when he was a small boy, you know the story, but nice to hear it again and again. There was one mango that was to be offered to his father's deity. And before the mango was offered, the little boy, Bimal Prasad, ate the mango. And then when his father saw the mango was missing, he asked his son, "What have you done?" Amayo rebuking his son, "This is not good. You've taken what belongs to the deity before it's even offered. This is not good." So little boy, 4 or 5 years old, said, "From this day forward, for the rest of my life, I will not take mango, I will offend it." And he kept it. Prabhupada tells the story that from time to time the disciples would bring fruits, and when they would bring mangoes, Bhaktisiddhanta would say, "No, I cannot take, I'm an offender." Oh. But he took that very seriously. So that was his character, very serious. So when given a Korma Didi, it was a serious undertaking. And when he was just 13 years old, in addition to the Korma deity, his father gave him a Nrisimha mantra to chant. This wasn't Diksha, but he gave him a mantra to chant for protection and to counteract any mistakes he may make in the course of his worship and his devotional service. And name of Hari to chant, to purify him. So even he was small, the impression, so Prabhupada is making the point here, within the lives of great personalities we find this symmetry of komara acharet pragyo dharman pamavatamiha durlabham manusha janma tadapi adrovam artadam. Very famous verse Prabhupada spoke many, many times. Prahlad Maharaj speaking to his classmates. Komar acharat pragyo. Pragyo means intelligent. One who is intelligent. That's not everybody. But it's a sign of intelligence that even in early childhood, this difficult to achieve, durlabham, manushyam janma, when to achieve the human form of life is rare. Out of the 8,400,000, 400,000 are human forms of life. But it's rare to achieve out of the whole cycle of birth and death to come to the human form. When receiving something very rare, you cherish it, yes? Very valuable. Very rare. You care for it very carefully. And the proper care of this valuable gift of the human form of life is to use it for dharman bhagavatam, to engage in devotional service. Tadapi adhruvam arthadam. Although the body is adhruvam, it's impermanent. We were discussing in the morning Bhagavatam class. One can use things that are material, that are in relation to Krishna, in service to Krishna, and they act in a spiritual way, like this body. Tadapi, although adhruvam, it's impermanent, it can give the highest possible attainment of existence for the soul, if used properly, with proper direction. But there's emphasis. So I'm making emphasis on the importance of deity worship and the importance of involving the whole family in activities of devotion. I want to share a little experience with you that was very astounding. This is a japa retreat little sidebar. You've heard of these, you've heard of, I understand that Mother, who's it? Narayani is coming here to do some japa workshop, something like that. Trisha Stupka asked me to speak about it. I'm speaking about it, not because he asked me, because these japa workshops are to go together with other devotees to enter more deeply into our core practices of Krishna consciousness is very, very powerful. And I'll give a couple of examples, particularly youth examples. So, the past 4th of July weekend, I invited Brother Hari from Alachua to come and join with me in what we call the Festival of the Holy Name. It wasn't planned like, you know, really focused, you know, dive deeply into japa, because it was more of a family thing. So, Festival of the Holy Name. Skipping a lot, there was a lot of just focus on different ways of glorifying the Holy Name by this method, that method, by bhajan, it's a nice variety of things. But the Holy Name, we went to Maha Harinam, the priest of Chicago, about 90 devotees went. It was a very nice experience. Then on the 4th, on the 3rd of July, a lot of people didn't have to work, so we were preparing for what we called the 32-round day. So really focus on the Holy Name, how to go deeply into the Holy Name and do it together. Then the 4th of July. So I found out at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon that one of the persons, because it was family-oriented, one of the persons was a very new family, and they have a 7-year-old son, and he was so excited, so moved by this experience of preparing for 32 rounds. They got to bed at 12:30, he was up at 2 o'clock, couldn't sleep, and he was up chanting. His parents were in another room. He's chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. He wanted to chant 16 of his 32 rounds before Mangal Arati. No one told him to do this. He just got like excited. Because he saw all the adults getting excited, so he got excited. And he thought Mangal Arati was at 5 o'clock. So he woke his parents up. Let's go to Mangal Arati. And then he can chant my other 16 rounds. Wow. We just went to bed at 12:30. Oh, well, I'll go to Mangal Arati. So we went to Mangal Arati. We had made Mangal Arati a little bit later at 7 o'clock because make it easier for people to chant japa early in the morning. So he had another 8 of his 16 rounds done by 7 o'clock. He had the second 16. And then Mangal Arati in short class, and he chanted his other 8 rounds. He had 32 rounds done by something like 9 o'clock. Then he was really tired because he only slept an hour and a half, so he took a nap. Now imagine how the parents felt. They were thrilled. And they saw him chanting 32 rounds, and they chanted 32 rounds, the new couple. They chanted 32 rounds. And then, I'll look over here, we have a youth group in Chicago. And there's about 12 of them, and they range from, the youngest one I think is 8 or 9, and you know, a lot of them are 17, 18, that range. They all chanted 32 rounds. Not because someone was twisting their arm, come on. It was so inspiring. The whole atmosphere was so charged. Then some old people and some, IT people that, you know, my wife did the chanting and I did the work, and you know, we're 15 at that time. Bob. And one of them came 3 times afterwards and said it was so easy. After the first like 32 down here, but after the first 16, it was just like sailing. It was so nice. He came back two other times to tell me. He was so such a nice. There's more to the experience, a lot more, but just back to the Bhagavatam verse. The children that we have to see running around being very playful and noisy and being children, they're very special souls. It's not, most likely, not the first time around that they're being introduced to devotional service. Prabhupada comments in the purport, there are these two classes of souls that can be situated in the perfectional stage. Some are Mahabhagavata Nityasiddhas. The Nityasiddhas means they're eternally perfected souls, and they like Shukadeva Goswami, just appears in this world, and he's on a perfectional platform. Even before he starts, he's there. And likewise, Maharaj Pariksit, Prabhupada comments in the next verse, they're on the same platform. So there may be like that, or there may be in the sadhana siddha stage, where if, as a community, it's not only the parents' responsibility, but much my strong feeling, opinion, that the whole community helps to raise a child. There is the saying, it takes a village to raise a child. Certainly parents have the primary lifting, but the children see other examples, and they also need friends. And when they see, you know, water seeks its lowest level, it's quite common that children see other children doing something down here that, you know, I want to check it out too. How come we can't? So if the community, particularly the family, the parents of young children, but in general, if that mood is there, along with the gorgeous worship in the temple, the daily worship in the home that the parents can take up, and certainly if families can live in this community, then come and worship Radha Devamata right at the temple, and the children can observe and become inspired and take up that practice. If it's done carefully, then that inspiration, that impression can be made. So Prabhupada writes, so the conclusion is that everyone can become sadhana siddha, a devotee of the Lord, simply by the association of pure devotees, because that was mentioned in the previous verse. This very valuable thing of association of devotees. Bhagavata Sangata. So Prahlad Maharaj had that because he was born not only in a royal family but a family of pure devotees, and they gave that impression, he took it, and he became perfected soul. Very important. The emphasis, I want to point out, the emphasis in all of these three chapters of the second canto is on hearing. But hearing is very nicely complemented by deity worship. Prabhupada called it the Bhagavata Vidhi and the Pancharatrika Vidhi. Of the two, Bhagavata Vidhi is most important. Hearing. To complement and help further purify one's existence, Pancharatrika Vidhi, the deity worship. So in your home, be sure that you read Prabhupada's books and chant and have kirtan. In addition, deity worship. For yourselves, for regulation and purity and following the standards of cleanliness and punctuality and all the things that help one become pure, so that when one chants the holy name, the receiving of the holy name goes very deep. But also, for the example, training your children. but then the second verse, and this again, it's Shonaka speaking, where he's now speaking about Shukadeva Goswami. Maharaj Prakshit so qualified, Shukadeva Goswami so qualified. He says, Shukadeva Goswami, the son of Vyasadeva, was also full of transcendental knowledge and was a great devotee of Lord Krishna, son of Vasudeva. So there must have been discussion of Lord Krishna. What happens when two qualified devotees, a qualified speaker, a qualified listener, what do they do together? Katayantashyamam nityam tushyantisha ramantisa machita bhagatakkara bodayantas paraspara katayantashyamam nityam tushyantisha ramantisa. This is one of the chakra sloki verses of the Bhagavad Gita. This is what devotees do, qualified devotees do. Surely Krishna Katha will be heard and discussed. So Satam Syur He Samadhame. So when Satam Prabhupada says in the purport, this is an important word in this verse. Satam means devotees. So those who are fixed in Sat, like Sadhu, those who are fixed in Sat, that was just eternal. And the supreme eternal is Krishna. So Satam, those who are fixed in Sat, reality, truth, this is the devotee. And when a devotee is with a devotee, they talk about their beloved Krishna. Just natural. You know, materialists and materialists get together and they talk about their hero. The politician talk about, you know, the big politician, and so on. The scholar talk about, you know, scholarly work. The devotee and the devotee get together and speak about Krishna. So look at these two qualified personalities. Now, very important understanding. Here we are with all of you looking at me and I'm looking at you, and it looks like this person's important and those persons are not as important. Not so. In the process of hearing and chanting, what Prabhupada is stating here in the purport is what is really so. Perfection can be achieved whether one is hearing or speaking. And perfection will be achieved based on qualification, not whether one is speaking, as opposed to hearing. Prabhupada said this about himself. One qualification that I had, as I would sit and listen to my Guru Maharaj, he told the story that when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was, during the month of Kartik, he would take, under the order of his father, he took huge parikrama party through whole Braj Mandal. Thousands of devotees, and there was the time where they didn't go back and take rest in the Krishna Balaram Mandir. They stayed out in camps and just moved from place to place. And in the evening, there was katha. So, details, one evening, there was some of Bhaktisiddhanta's sannyasi disciples that were going to take some devotees to go see some other places. Bhaktisiddhanta was going to stay and speak. Prabhupada decided to stay and listen to his Guru Maharaj. And he commented that because he spoke way up here, very high, people would have trouble listening. So they would go away. And then others would come and stay for a while and go away, and others would come and stay for a while and go away. Prabhupada said, I stayed. I didn't always understand, but I had faith that his speaking was so pure and powerful that just by hearing that sound vibration, I would become uplifted. So I stayed and listened. And my Guru Maharaj remarked, this young man likes to listen. And Prabhupada said, it's true, I like to listen to my Guru Maharaj, and this is my one qualification that today I can speak. I'm only speaking what I heard from my Guru Maharaj. But because he heard with such shrushoshatam, with such eagerness, then it stuck. It went in and it stayed there. And certainly Prabhupada's speaking was in his own manner, but the message is the same message. And it's a pure message in a pure heart. So because, now here's what Prabhupada writes. Maharaj Pariksit was a great devotee of the Lord from his very birth, and so was Shukadeva Goswami. Both of them were on the same level. Although it appeared that Maharaj Pariksit was a great king, accustomed to royal facilities, whereas Shukadeva Goswami was a typical renouncer of the world, so much so that he did not even put cloth on his body. So, superficially, Maharaj Pariksit is down here and Shukadeva Goswami is up there. Shukadeva Goswami is speaking. Maharaj Pariksit is listening. But from a spiritual point of view, equal in quality and equal in attainment. This is it's an important message. It's part of the beauty of devotional service. Krishna doesn't look at what our position is, or where we're sitting, and what seat, and what anything like that. Krishna is looking to see the eagerness with which we want to please Him, the eagerness with which we want to reach out and receive Him, and having received to extend that which we have received to others. The eagerness of and purity of our hearts in service. That attracts Krishna. That's what Krishna sees. I mean, certainly the particulars of the service, that's also there. But that's not the key consideration. So, within this, I'll end with this. Within the verse is this phrase, Vasudeva Parayana. Vyasakish Chak Bhagavan, Vasudeva Parayana. Vasudeva Parayana. It's one of these, it's a little phrase that appears here and appears there and appears there, and when you appreciate the poetry and the beauty of the Bhagavatam, it signifies something. The phrase itself, like when Prabhupada would speak, sometimes he would just speak a very short part of a sloka, but he would say it so many times it would invoke meaning in the whole sloka, the whole, like, so many hundreds of times he explained it, just with that little phrase, like a sutra. It packed within the sutra so much. The Bhagavatam has such phrases, just like I was mentioning earlier, sarvatra sarvadatta. That's another phrase. Everywhere in all circumstances. When is devotional service appropriate? Anywhere and in all circumstances. One should be eagerly remembering Krishna, adhering, and from the heart serving Krishna. It's not only in certain auspicious times and places. And sarvatra sarvada. And here's another such phrase. Vasudeva Parayana, or in the sixth canto it becomes Narayana Parayana. Narayana Parayana Sahe Nakutaschana Bibhuti Svarga Apavarga Narakeshu Akito Yarta Darshana. This is Lord Shiva speaking, glorifying King Chitraketu. He says to Parvati, this person that you've just cursed to become a demon is the highest caliber of devotees on the same platform as me. You thought that he offended me. I'm letting you know you've offended him by this curse. And I'll prove it to you that he's on such a platform. The proof is that in the mind of such a person as Chitraketu, a Narayana Parayana living entity, as King Chitraketu, Svarga, heaven, Apavarga, liberation, Svarga, Apavarga, Narakeshu, hell, Apitu Yarta Darshanam, he sees them all equally. Material, this, that, this material doesn't phase the mind. The mind doesn't flinch. Like Amrish Maharaj, when a fiery demon came at him, he didn't, his mind didn't move his body. He's a Kshatriya, he didn't go, he just stood ready to accept, this is the will of the Lord. Narayana Parayana. But supposing somebody said to you, you know what? Tomorrow, you'll attain heaven. Will the mind change? Or someone says the opposite. Go to hell. Or tomorrow, you're going to hell. And it hurts when someone says something like that. Go to hell. People get all bent out of shape when people speak that kind of language. Or tomorrow, the Vaikuntha Vimana will come and take you to the spiritual world. Vaikuntha, tomorrow! And your mind hearing those three different options doesn't change at all. Apikunyarta Darshanam. Why? Is that possible? Yes, it's possible. When there's full shelter in Narayana Parayana, my dear devotees, the Bhagavatam wants to carry us to that place, this place of unflinching devotion to Krishna. No mix, no karma, no jnana, no mode of nature, no past material desire lingering in the heart, squeaky clean, nothing, but exclusive shelter of Krishna. The Bhagavatam was to carry us to that place. These verses are packed, power packed, to carry us there. If we hear with proper attention, the potency is there. Fasten your seatbelt, open your hearts, let it in, and you're transported. It's like that. Very powerful. Powerful. Prabhosadach. Chotra Manovidama, the medicine that cleanses the mind, and Manovirama, it gives the highest satisfaction to the heart and to the mind, to the self. This is the beauty of Srimad Bhagavatam, if we just had the proper qualification to hear it. So keep practicing. Keep practicing the chanting, keep practicing your worship of the deity, attend that nice program tomorrow Sunday, next Sunday 8 o'clock, and learn how to not make offense when you're doing those services in the kitchen and serving. Become pure in devotion. Strive to become pure in devotion in every way possible. So that the message of the Bhagavatam can carry you to Krishna. That's not an empty promise. When we hear in a proper way, we'll experience that. Just like this 7-year-old boy. I mean, he was radiant. He wasn't just happy, he was radiant. And who knows what he was doing in his previous lifetime to have that kind of, you know, enthusiasm and experience. And what's going to be, you know, his life like when he's, you know, an adult, if continuingly that's nurtured in his life. So we have a great opportunity and a great responsibility to give that to the young devotees and